So, you know, one of the things I love to share here on the Midas Touch Network is the story about MAGA people, former Republicans, former Trump voters who are no longer voting Trump, people who left MAGA. Some people still consider themselves Republicans, but they consider themselves Republicans for Vice President Kamala Harris. And I've made it a mission here at the Midas Touch Network to share those stories. And we are so fortunate that we are working with an organization called Leaving MAGA, and they're going to be doing some videos from time to time on our network. Rich Logis, who's the founder of Leaving MAGA, already did a video with me where he introduced the types of videos we're going to do. But Logis spoke at the Democratic National Convention. He was a MAGA pundit who left MAGA and realized that Donald Trump was an existential threat to our democracy. Let me share with you Rich Logis's most recent interview that he did with someone else who was lifelong MAGA. These are the types of stories we need to share. It's critical right now. So Rich, take it away.
Hey out there, America. It's Rich Logis, founder of Leaving MAGA, coming to you here with the Midas Touch Network. So this is actually our inaugural video where we're going to be having conversations with those who, like myself, were in MAGA, they left, and now they are speaking out, trying to empower people to leave. One of the results of most positive, actually, of leaving MAGA for me was that I've gotten a chance to meet so many others whom I probably would not have met. And if I had met them and they were not in MAGA and I was, I probably would have said that, just like I did with everyone who was not in MAGA, that they were my existential enemy against everything that we stood for, and that we were on the good side, they were on the bad side. And one of the individuals I've gotten to know, his name is Steve Vilches. I want to invite him in. He is going to talk about a little bit about his experiences and why he is now very vocal in talking about why he wants to get people to leave MAGA and help them leave. Steve, thank you so much for being with us.
Hello.
It is great to see you. It has been great to get to know you. Mm-hmm. I want to start out with, you're a very young guy. How old are you right now?
I'm 20. I'll be turning 21 in December.
All right. So I'm your age shaming me here, but that's okay, because I just want to just tell you how proud I am of what you have mm-hmm. done. We've got a testimonial of Steve's at our site, leavingmaga.org. Tell us a little bit about how old you were, first off, when you started to become enamored with the MAGA movement. And what are some of the reasons that you gravitated to the campaign? What was it about it that was enticing and attractive to you?
Right. So my first interest towards MAGA began when I was only 12 years old. It was right around middle school when I had the 2016 election come up. So I was very, very young. I was nowhere close to voting age. And at first I was very resistant against Donald Trump, but as I began to gravitate towards his contrarian personality, how he kept repeating how the establishment was against him and that he was pretty much the only anti-establishment candidate, his personality did seem a little bit interesting per se. And I seemed to gravitate a bit towards it at first. And then after I became basically closed-minded in favor of listening to only conservative outlets and pundits, I basically went on full in MAGA, and by the time I was entering high school, I was pretty much as MAGA as I could have become at the time. And it just got worse from there. But back then, I thought it was getting better. But looking at it now, it was really just getting worse. His policies, I agreed with it at first, even if I disagreed with it now. Like, a big example is immigration. My whole family comes from a line of immigrants from Mexico. And he keeps repeating the same lines over and over, calling people like my own parents, they're bringing drugs, they're criminals, they're rapists. And then he said a couple months ago that immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. These things really offended me, but back then it didn't offend me at all, and that I agreed with it. So it was almost egregious. And given that my current focus in college right now is science, his whole stance on science is that he's very adamant to being against it. And back then when he was against the COVID vaccine and arguing that climate change was pretty much all fake, I was initially in the middle. I had some agreements, but also some disagreements. But over time, I gradually began to just disagree with him on that position, because he does argue about the truth. But the truth was, is that the COVID vaccine does work. It saved lives, and climate change is real. So these type of things, even though I did agree with Donald Trump as a whole, they were small little things that I disagreed him with. And over time, as his you know, presidency, his term came along, I began to only gravitate with him more and more. And people were starting to notice that, including my close friends and family. It was very problematic, but I just didn't consider much of it of importance at the time. But looking back at it now, I think it was pretty detrimental for my sake.
So thank you for sharing that. Now, a couple of points. So you mentioned in there anti-establishment. And this is a point that I bring up a lot with my own story. And I think the same would apply to yourself, as I always say for my own experience, is that I don't say it as a self-defense, but there were valid reasons to be attracted to the campaign of someone as an outsider. Mm-hmm. You know, if we remember before Trump ran, the election was supposed to be Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. So even non-political friends of mine who knew I was political would ask me and say, I don't understand. Why are we having another Bush or another Clinton? We're going to have a dynasty. You know, didn't we fight a monarchy to gain our autonomy from the monarchy? And those were valid reasons to at least have some curiosity about the campaign. And, you know, there's this right-wing MAGA mythology about grooming children. And I have to say, Steve, the fact is, and I don't want to speak for you here, but I'd like you to speak to it. I think that that happened to you. Mm-hmm. I think that what happened in your case was that there was a certain grooming about being inculcated into these beliefs that, like you just said, were contradictory. And I'm also wondering, in addition to that, did you, in some of the private concerns you had, did you ever express them publicly when you were actually in the MAGA community?
Right. I definitely would agree that I was per se groomed by the MAGA community. It did give me like a place of protection. But at the same time, I was pretty young, but I was becoming more aware about the political situations at the time. And onto your point about my private concerns, I definitely restrained myself from expressing these, because at the time I was starting to remove more of my centrist and left-leaning friends. I was trying to like stay away from them while also maintaining that friendship. But I was starting to get more closer with my MAGA right-wing leaning friends. And I felt that if I were to express any form of disagreement, even the slightest of Donald Trump, that I would pretty much just get like ridiculed and just bombarded with basically being called like, oh, I'm a never Trumper. I'm a rhino, what they say. And that's pretty much why I kind of like kept a lot of these private disagreements to myself and didn't really express them.
See, that's a really key point also, because, and I understand the exasperation that so many feel when I have this conversation with them who were never in MAGA, never in the right wing. And they'll say to me, well, why didn't you just speak up publicly? When you disagreed or you thought that he said or did something abhorrent, why remain silent? And I don't say it as a defense, but in the community, anybody who would speak out publicly on something they differed with, even if it was, Steve, you know this, the remotest criticism, something really trivial and insignificant, you'd be exiled. You'd be exiled out of the community. You'd be considered a MAGA apostate and heretic. And that's why I had many private critical conversations with people who actually were paid staffers in Trump's campaign. We did it with Charlottesville. We did it after COVID. We did it regarding the stolen election. We did it with January 6th. I have something for all of you. Again, we've got a testimonial of Steve's on our site, leavingmaga.org, and I want to read something, Steve, that you contributed for us here, okay? And I want you to talk to this here. You said, I didn't want to talk politics with my mom. I would tell her Obama is the one who made us so polarized. She would look at me like I was crazy. Before the 2016 election, I was very upset about Trump's comment about grabbing women by the fill in the blank. We won't say that here. Family friendly show. But once I joined MAGA, I defended him. I parroted what he said. It was just boys talk, locker room talk. And that's on our, that's a testimony you offered. Mm-hmm. Looking back on it, do you feel like as part of the remorse that you would have liked to have spoken up at the time and maybe compromise some of your own morals? Because that's what happened in my case. And I'm just wondering how you have started to sort that out, because I want to get to you in a moment about the reasons you left. But did you have those feelings as you started to doubt a little bit that I'm supporting something in a person who doesn't really comport with my own values and morals?
I did have that feeling a little bit. Again, like for my testimonial, I was very, you know, upset even before the election, after the comments about, you know, grabbing women by the, after that was pretty much publicized, I was pretty much very upset about it. And again, I did parrot his, people were defending it. And I parroted, I was saying it was locker room talk, boys talk, but it was always at the back of my mind, like, we shouldn't really be talking about women that way, especially since women were also pro-Trump. So now you're kind of like putting these women that you say you want to grab there in the same basket as pro-Trump women. And that was something that I didn't really have the best interest in doing. So yes, I did. I would have much rather compromised with my morals at the time.
One of the hardest parts for me in leaving was that I say this all the time about MAGA, that it is a community. Mm-hmm. Speak to us about how you felt about that, if that's one of the reasons it was so hard to leave. And then some of the reasons, the doubts that commenced, what were the specifics that led you to start second guessing your support for this movement, Trump himself?
Right. So MAGA did feel like, I know, like a second home, whether it was in person with my friends or online with my other internet friends that were also right wing as well. And just knowing that if I ever wanted or even considered, you know, staying aside from MAGA and not really being a full on member, I feel like I was going to lose a part of me, because these are people that I've known for quite some time, developed a pretty good friendship. We all have similar beliefs. And knowing that if I were to just leave them, obviously it would upset them. And that would upset me as well, because I do, like, it's important to consider the feelings of others, but at the end of the day, it's your decision. And on to your next point about like my beginnings of my doubts. I would say the beginning, the very, very beginning was right after the election of 2020, when basically the whole election fraud and election denialism just exploded. At first, I was a full-on election denier. I basically argued that it was all fraudulent and that these states, which Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, there were all irregularities. I bought into the Sharpie thing in Arizona. It's
absurd, right? It's absurd, right? In a way, the word so atheist, yeah. Right.
I don't know why I believed it, but I guess because since Trump was saying it so much, there's a saying, I don't know if it's someone even said or not, but it's this thing that I tell myself, if someone says it enough, people will believe it. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what happened in my case and a lot of other MAGA people's cases as well. And seeing him repeat the same thing over and over and over, that it was stolen from me, I'm the true president, oh, this and that, it eventually reaches the point where you just want to tell him to shut up, because he's saying like over and over again, it's so repetitive. And this began in the midterms as well. Even before the midterms, people were already saying, oh, this election is going to have fraud, they're going to lose because they're cheating and this and that. That was right around my breaking point of, do I actually want to consider staying in MAGA? I was already having changes in my philosophies as well. I was starting to become more pro-immigrant, pro-healthcare, even developing pro-Biden sentiments, which a year before that, I would have probably strangled myself for that. But over time, seeing the midterms happen, after the midterms, seeing people like Carrie Lake go into full election denialism again, saying, I am the duly elected governor of Arizona. I remember that. And that was just completely stood out, because now she's just like, she wants, in essence, the way that I perceived her saying that was, she wants to really just live in Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump by how much he's basically copying what he's saying. And it was very, very upsetting for me because we live in a republic, but we have our democratic elections. And the people voted. They voted against Trump in 2020, and they voted against Carrie Lake. So you have to live with the results, whether you like it or not. And it was right around like a month or two after the midterms where I was pretty much like, yeah, I'm done with MAGA. I still align as a Republican, but not a MAGA Republican.
I think you're really, Steve, an embodiment of what I say all the time, which is I understand the very strong anti-Trump, anti-MAGA feelings, especially of those who have friends and family still in the thrall of MAGA, and that some of the exasperated comments about people support Trump are uncouth and uneducated. And I think you embody and confirm that that actually is not the case, and that good people, intelligent people, people who do have good morals and values, they can be subsumed into this right-wing MAGA world, which, as you alluded to a few minutes ago, is foundationally about absurdity and outlandishness and lies ad infinitum about everything completely shamelessly. So I just think what you're doing as part of this movement of leaving MAGA and everything we're doing here, it takes a very intrepid person to do what you are doing. And as such a young guy, I just really admire your precociousness and the bravery and courage that you're showing. Tell us what you're doing now, and just conclude with why you think it's important for you to keep speaking out about trying to empower people to leave MAGA.
Right. So right now I'm in my third year at Illinois State University studying biology education. So it kind of does come full circle with the whole science thing. I begin my observation hours next week, and I do look very forward to that, working with, you know, people that are going to be our future. I really look forward to that. And what I want to say to pretty much everyone, it's okay to admit that you're wrong, especially the people that you look up to. I looked up to Donald Trump. I refused to admit that he was wrong. But when I started to admit that he can be wrong and that he isn't perfect, I felt like I was starting to, you know, like make myself feel free, you know, like that feeling that no one's going to be perfect, even if no matter how much this one person says they're going to be perfect, they're going to be this great person. They're not. They're going to make mistakes. And my mistake was believing that Donald Trump was perfect. And once I realized that I didn't make that mistake, it began a very long but worthwhile process of leaving MAGA.
Steve, can you give me a I'm Steve, I left MAGA? Can I ask you to do that?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Steve Vultures, and I left MAGA.
Okay, I'm Rich, and I left MAGA. And I'm Rich, founder of Leaving MAGA, our organization. My friend Steve Vultures, you can read about his story, his testimonial, at our site, leavingmaga.org. Steve, it's truly an honor to know you. You're such a good kid. You're not a kid. You're a grown man. But you're a kid in my eyes. I just want to thank you for being here. This is really going to be so valuable for all the viewers and all the work that you're doing. I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, America, if you like these videos, be sure to subscribe below to make sure you get all of our updates on all of our future conversations we're going to have with others who also left MAGA.
Love this video? Make sure you stay up to date on the latest breaking news and all things Midas by signing up to the Midas Touch newsletter at MidasTouch.com/newsletter.